opens with Paul's prayer for the brethren at Colossae. And in verse 9 and 10, Paul mentions eight things that he was praying for them, praying regarding these eight things, that these would be qualities that they would have, accomplishments that they would achieve, and blessings that God would give. Specifically, that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will, that they would have all wisdom, that they would have all spiritual understanding, that they would walk worthy of the Lord, that they would be fully pleasing to Him, that they would be fruitful in every good work, and that they would increase in the knowledge of God. So there's some eight qualities that every one of us should pray for, not only in our own lives, but also in the lives of others, people that we care about. We should be praying for others in these regards. What I would like for us to notice is verse 11 specifically. Verse 12 concludes this whole process, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are qualified. God has declared us righteous by the blood of Jesus. And so we are qualified to be partakers of the inheritance. But here's something we should strive for. That we would be, number one, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. That we would have all patience and long-suffering with joy. With joy. So this morning my lesson is entitled simply, Praying for Strength, Patience, and Joy. Now, I have been told, I don't see how anybody can pray for an hour, much less all night. I've been told that. And I know that when you sit down to pray, there are times when you just can't think of much. I understand that. There are moments like that. But before prayer can truly become a genuine part of your life and of your focus, an emphasis for you, then you have to believe that God really listens to your prayers. Because if you don't really believe that, if you don't really believe that prayer makes a difference, then prayer is just something that's going to take up your valuable time. But if you truly believe that prayer changes things, that God listens to our prayers, and that they do make a difference, if you truly believe that, then prayer will be as natural as breathing. You won't be able to help yourself but pray. I had a terrible dream the other night. Scared me. I don't get scared much. You ask Faye. I scare a lot of people with my driving. I scared a bunch of folks Friday night, I'm imagining. I had a dream that scared me. Satan looked me right in the eyes. And he said, God won't let me kill you, but I'm going to put you spiritually asleep. And he stared at me and stared at me and stared at me, and I felt strength going out of me. I felt myself getting weaker and weaker. Am I scaring any of you? I felt myself getting weaker and weaker, and then suddenly there was the image in my mind of a little puppy just falling asleep like this, and I saw myself literally doing the same thing. And it scared me so much. It's like, what does this mean? What does this mean? I don't really believe in dreams and visions anymore. I don't think that those are things that happen to us. But that's a dream that I had, and it scared me so much. And you know what I did when I woke up? I got up, I went and put water on my face, and I prayed, Lord, help me. Help me that this never comes true. Help me that I can never, that I will never listen to Satan. That I will never let him get that close to me. I mean, I couldn't help but pray. I couldn't help it. It was needed. I needed to pray. So I prayed. Now, you know, I don't believe in these dreams. I don't believe in that. But it scared me still. It still scared me. And whether you believe in it or not, something like that happens to you, I guarantee you. You believe in prayer. You believe God answers prayer. You will pray. But prayer has to mean something to you. You have to truly believe that God is listening and that it does make a difference, or you'll find yourself praying only a few minutes a day, if that. Paul is praying for these brethren. We have much to pray about, but here's three specific things I want to address this morning in the time that remains. Paul first prays that they will be strengthened with all might. Now, most of the time, the trouble is not a lack of knowing what to do. The trouble is a lack of desire and determination to do the things that we know to do. That's where most of our problem is. Oh, there's always room for us to learn more. We all will need to understand better than what we know. You know, we need to continue to grow in knowledge. Yes, absolutely. But brethren, for most of us, we just don't have the desire and the determination to do what's right all the time. That's for most of us. And so that's where the problem comes in. See, the thing is, God did not just tell us what He wanted us to do. God promised the strength and the ability to do what He tells us to do. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." According to the power that works in us, God is able to do above all that we can ask or think. He is able to do. Isn't God able to help His people to do exceedingly abundantly above all the things that we are able to ask or think? God is able to do with us whatever He will. Now, from Colossians 1:11 and from this passage in Ephesians 3:20 that we just read, we can see Paul is teaching the early Christians that they need to pray for God's strength and power. They need to pray for God's strength and power. And we can see that, you know, we need to expect our prayers to be answered even beyond what we may ask or think. We need to expect that God is going to provide us what we need to be able to obey Him. From Colossians, from this, we need to admit that if we don't accomplish what God wants us to do, if we don't refrain from sin like God wants us to do, and if we don't do the good works that God wants us to do, it's not God's fault. We can't blame God. He is providing us not only clear instructions on what He wants us to do, things He wants us to avoid, sin in our life, and the good works He wants us to do. God is providing us clear instructions, but then He gives us a promise that He will be with us, that He will help us. He will give us strength and power to do the things that He wants us to do. God's strength and might are always greater than the devil. Always. In Ephesians chapter 1, now we were in Ephesians 3 a moment ago, in Ephesians 1 verses 19 and 20, Paul prays a similar prayer for the church at Ephesus. In verse 18 he says, "That you may know," verse 19, "what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places." What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? What is that? Well, the word power here is from the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis. And our English word dynamite comes from this root word. And Paul tells us what the spiritual dynamite from God is actually for. The power is made available so that they and we can accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish. That we can overcome sin that God wants us to overcome. We can do the good works that God wants us to do. And it is according to the working of His mighty power. Now, the will has to be up to us. The way God will provide. Are you listening? The will is yours, but but the way is God's. Does that make sense? You have to will it. You have to want it. You have to desire it. You have to be determined to get it. God will make the way. But the will is yours to do. God wants Christians to know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for us. It says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This same power. The resurrection of Christ beyond all the things that God has done shows the unlimited power and ability of God to do what he promised to do for his children. And without the resurrection of Christ, the gospel is stripped of all of its credibility and all of its relevance for man. It means nothing to man without the resurrection. That's why Paul never failed to include the resurrection in the heart of every sermon, in the heart of every letter that he wrote. The resurrection of Christ was at the center of it. Shouldn't we keep it fresh in our mind that just as God's power raised Jesus from the dead, so that same power is available to us as we try to keep from sin and as we try to do every good work? See, we need to focus on this. God has given us the same power he used to raise Jesus from the dead. He's providing us power to obey him. Now, somebody says, oh, I can't. Watch out now. Oh, I can't. I can't teach a class. God has not given me enough power to teach a class. You going to say that? Oh, I can't study the Bible with anyone. God has not given me enough power, enough strength to teach a Bible class, to teach the Bible to anyone. I'm not good at public speaking. I can't do that. I can't lead a public prayer. I can't invite somebody to church. I can't be here on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I just can't do it. This is the same thing that Moses tried to say to God. Moses said, Lord, I can't lead your people. I stutter. I've got a sore throat. Lord, I'm an introvert. Lord, I don't do well with other people. And God said, Moses, who do you think you're talking to? I'm the God who makes the mute and the talking, the lame and the walking. I'm the God who makes eyes to see and ears to hear. So put your trust in me and do not fear. Who do you think you're talking to? We've got to stop being people who can't and recognize that in us is the God who can. People who can. That should be who we are. People who can. By the power of God that works in us, we can do it. Whatever it is. If it's the will of God, if it's something that God wants us to do, to break a habit, to give up a sin, to do something that's good, to be ready to a good work, if it's something that God wants us to do, God provides us the power to do it. And for me to say, I can't, is evidence that my faith is too much in myself and not enough in God. The second part of prayer, not only praying for strength and the power of God, but praying for patience and long suffering. Folks, I don't like praying for patience. I don't pray enough for patience because I don't like what happens when I do. When you pray for patience, you look up and you have a mountain to climb. When you pray for patience, it means that there's hard work ahead. It's like walking up a steep hill. I'm talking about digging a ditch, chopping cotton, cleaning out a pig pen. It means I'm going to have to wash dirty, stinking feet, praying for patience means we're going to have to we're going to have a big old struggle waiting for us when we say amen. Praying for patience means that God is going to give us an opportunity to develop patience. I don't like praying for patience, but I need to. I need to. See, here's my problem. I want patience and I want it now. I don't want to have to wait. I've been in a restaurant with folks. I've told you about this before. One particular person I was in a restaurant with just embarrassed me to death. I have the greatest respect for those who work in the food service industry. These people work hard. They work harder than most of us will ever work. They work hard, they get paid little, and they get beat up all the time by impatient, many times, people who call themselves Christians. You didn't. My butter is not melted right. It has done slid off my biscuit. I'm not happy about that. It's amazing how impatient people can be. We need to pray for patience. Do you know what patience is? Patience is steadfast endurance, and it's badly needed because patience enables a Christian to continue doing right regardless of what hardships or trials they're having to face. Patience. No matter how tough the road we must walk, patience will help us be able to endure. And this is more than just bowing one's head and enduring difficulties and hard times. It's sort of like a running back and with tacklers hanging all over him as he struggles to keep going and cross that goal line or get that first down. He just keeps pushing, keeps driving. That's patience. That's patience. Patience is a quality of conquerors and overcomers. Patience is a godly virtue. And this kind of patience is the ability to deal victoriously with anything that life throws at us. James reminds us to look back at the patience of the Old Testament prophets as well as the patience of Job. How did these people deal with suffering and discouragement? James says in James 5, verse 10 and 11, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." If you are patient with God, you will receive a blessing. If you're patient with God, if you endure all the attacks of Satan, God will bless you. If you endure with patience the tests that come from God, God will bless you. If you endure as a Christian the hardships that come in life, God will bless you. But you need to be praying for patience, because without patience, you won't make it. You won't make it. Too many people have given up too quickly because of a lack of patience. When things seem unbearable, we need to pray for patience. When life has become hard and merciless, we need to pray for patience. When it seems like you can't take anymore and you wonder if you're going to make it, pray for patience and patiently plod on. Don't give up. Long-suffering is seen as patience by a lot of folks, and in the Greek language, sometimes the words are used interchangeably. But long-suffering is slightly different than patience. It's actually a different Greek word, and patience is dealing with life. Long-suffering is dealing with people. And we definitely need to be able to deal with people. We need to be long-suffering in our dealing with people. Just look at the word long suffering. If that preacher goes too long, you suffer, right? Okay, yeah, I knew Tom was going to say that. I just knew it. Okay, Ken, you make sure you leave that on the tape. Brethren, to be long suffering is to deal with difficult people and difficult situations that people bring on you. To be patient is to deal with the struggles of life. To be long-suffering is dealing with folks. G.E. Watkins, one of my favorite writers, said this, long-suffering is the quality of mind and heart which enables us to cope with people in such a way that their unpleasantness and malice and cruelty will never drive us to bitterness. Their unwillingness to learn will never drive us to despair. That their foolishness will never drive us to irritation. And that their unloveliness will never alter our love. Good words. Barnabas was more long-suffering toward John Mark than Paul was, wasn't he? Keith talked about this last week in one of his lessons. You know, Barnabas was such an encourager. And Paul was a businessman. He was all about the business of preaching the gospel, and he didn't have time for somebody that was going to be a distraction from that job. And so John Mark, who had failed them in the first missionary journey and went back, when they got ready to go on the second missionary journey, Paul says, let's go back and visit the churches and see how they're doing. And Barnabas said, great idea. Let me go get John Mark. And Paul says, whoa, hold your horses there. No, we don't have time for him. We got to go. We don't have time for somebody that's going to bail on us. And Barnabas said, look, now you need to give the boy a chance. And Paul says, nah, we're not doing it. Y'all, I hope you pardon my paraphrasing. And the contention became so sharp between them that they went their separate ways. I struggle with that sometimes. I know that we're supposed to work things out. And sometimes it can be done and sometimes it can't be done. And that's one of those harsh things in life that you just don't know how to prepare for. But here Paul takes Silas and Barnabas takes John Mark with him. This is found in Acts 15, verses 36 through 41. Now, as time went by, the long-suffering that Barnabas showed to John Mark proved to be well-founded. It paid off big time because it helped develop Mark into a significant man of faith. He's the one who wrote the very first New Testament book, the Gospel of Mark. It's the earliest book of the New Testament. The very first one that was written was the Gospel of Mark. Barnabas paid off, buddy. I'm glad he was long-suffering with Mark because Mark has some of the richest stories about Jesus of any of the four Gospels. And years later, Paul made a special request for John Mark to come to him and assist him. As Paul is nearing the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 11, be patient to come to me, or be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, has departed to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Paul was wrong and glad to be wrong. We have to be long-suffering with people, and we don't need to give up on people too quickly. Each of us need to pray that God will help us to be patient with life's struggles and long-suffering with other people. The third and final point is that God wants us to pray for joy. That's what Colossians 1:11 is teaching, that we need to pray for joy. Joy comes for the Christian regardless of life's circumstance. It doesn't matter if you made an A or an F. There's still joy in your heart, joy in your life. Joy will come when one knows they're living right in the sight of God. In Acts 5, the apostles are rejoicing even after they've been beaten and threatened. And they were released they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Acts 5, 40 through 42. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas rejoiced through song and prayer, though they had been beaten with many stripes and were sitting in prison in Philippi. And just what kind of impact do you think that had on the prisoners that were there in that Philippian jail as Paul and Silas at midnight are singing and praying to God? About 10 years after being in prison in Philippi, Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians from a Roman prison. And he wrote these words, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. So let me stress this. Joy You pray for joy. You pray for joy. And you choose to be joyful. Joy is not a feeling that's going to come down on you. If you walk outside, you're going to get your head wet today. Joy is not like rain. You pray for joy and it's just going to come down and shower you with joy. It doesn't work like that. It's not a feeling. Joy is a choice you make. But you pray for joy, which refers to an attitude of joy, that God will help you to grow in this virtue, to grow in this grace. We need to recognize the first century Christians, to look at their life, how hard it was. And yet it was not some sad and helpless struggle with events and with people. They lived joyful lives in poverty, in persecution, in hardships. And yet no one and nothing could take their joy away from them. Instead, the Christian life should reflect a radiant hope and an attitude of joy about life and about people. There's an old song that was written in 1899, but you're probably familiar with it. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we keep on the sunny side of life. It's all about attitude. We pray for that good attitude. The attitude of joy. The Christian's joy is joy in any circumstance. It is a gratitude and a thankfulness to God that we've got something beyond this present tribulation, this present problem, this present hardship, this present pain, this present loss, this present suffering. We've got something wonderful ahead. It's not always going to be this way. There's a principle called the TC principle. This principle will keep you from committing suicide. This principle will keep you from quitting on a relationship. This principle will keep you from giving up when you don't feel like going on. You know what the TC principle is? Things change. Things change. Sometimes they get better, sometimes they get worse, but things change. But for the Christian, there is always light at the end of the darkest tunnel. Always hope on a rainy day. There's always a future for a child of God. That will cause you to have joy even with cancer. That will cause you to have joy even at a funeral home. That will cause you to have joy even when you're facing the worst pain and the worst loss of your life. Joy will still be there. Oh, you won't be smiling, but joy will be there because you know you've got a future. You've got a promise. It's easy to be joyful when things go well, but genuine Christian joy is something which all the heavy loads of life can never crush. So, brethren, we should pray for strength, the power of God, to do what He wants us to do, to become what He wants us to become. We should pray for patience, that we can endure the toughness of life, and long-suffering, that we can endure the foolishness of people. And we should pray for joy, that we can hang on no matter how tough the going may get. Our prayer should be, make me, O Lord, victorious over every sin and in every good work. Help me to be patient with life's struggles and long-suffering with every person. And give me the joy which no one and no thing can ever take from me. Prayer is extremely important and necessary in the life of a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, then prayer is not available to you as one of God's spiritual blessings. The starting place for you is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and become one of His people. If you're already one of His people but you've not been faithful to Him, you need to pray now. You need to pray that God will forgive you and restore you and let you be back with Him. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, either to become a Christian or to rededicate your life to God, we invite and encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.